I don't know what it is. God's Spirit is here or something. I know it's always here, but yeah, we need him. But anyways, Matthew 25, 19 through 29. Before I read, though, as Pastor Brian said, we read the Shema that Jesus taught, and as they read, just to kind of refocus and recenter our hearts on the Lord. So please repeat after me. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. All right. So Matthew 25, 19 through 29. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gathered where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Good morning. Let me ask you to do something as we begin this morning, whether you're watching online or if you're here in this room, just to calm ourselves for a moment. Would you close your eyes and set this aside? I'm going to ask you just to try to do the best that you can to remove the distractions of the room as you can, and to think about something that we often forget, to think about something that we don't consider and give as much attention as we should, and it's this. King Jesus is going to return. Just sit and think about that for a moment. He is going to return. And we don't know that if it's in our lifetime, I don't know if it's in our children's lifetime, but if it were today, what would your life look like to him? Would your life be a life of faithfulness and fruitfulness? Would it be a life of only mediocre faithfulness and minimal fruitfulness? Would it be a faith that was unfaithful in the end and had no fruit? Now you can open your eyes if you would. Good morning. I'm Pastor Milo. I'm glad that you're here this morning, but I need you to hear that once again. King Jesus is going to return. The reason I want you to consider that and think about that and ponder that this morning as we begin, because we don't do it enough. We don't put it on the front burner enough and consider that. We just had a child dedication service, something that we are very passionate about as a church. We are a church that we say we want to be a heritage of faith for the next generation. It is a beautiful thing to bring the next generation up on the stage and pray and say, we want to carry the legacy forward. But really, if we're going to talk about legacy, we actually need to look and have the end in mind. If we're going to think about how we're going to live our lives today, we actually need to consider the end in mind. Because this, ultimately, a legacy worth leaving comes from a life worth living. That was really good, right? That wasn't mine. I got to share that with you. A legacy worth leaving comes from a life worth living. That's from a friend of mine, Pastor Jerry, over at the chapel, shared that a while ago. But we're going to consider that as we look at this text, as we're getting here this morning. I think we need to consider how oftentimes we live our lives and we de-emphasize in many ways how each day works. We just kind of go through the day. We just kind of float along in the lazy river of life and just hope that things work out the way that they should. We're busy sometimes with all the things that happen in life. We're biding our time. We're doing our thing. Occasionally, we'll check in and out. You're here this morning. Good. You're checking in. You're checking out on spiritual matters. But we don't really leverage all that we are for the sake of the kingdom of God. I'm here to tell you this morning that your life in the sense of the kingdom of God matters a whole lot. And how you live it, it matters a ton. And all that you have been entrusted with, it matters. That's what the King Jesus says. In fact, we're going to see here in Matthew chapter 25 in just a moment in this parable that we're going to make our way through. Today you're going to see that our king, and we often overlook this 2,000 years later, we often miss this when we talk about the love of Jesus Christ. We also miss that we are supposed to be living with purpose, that he loves us enough to give us purpose in life and productivity and expectation to live our life for him. And almost every page, as we read through the Gospels, you're going to see Jesus talking to his disciples with some urgency in his voice, this call that they need to bear fruit, that there needs to be a yield, it needs to demonstrate an increase in what's going on around them, that their lives would be planted for the sake of the kingdom, that growth would happen because of it. Friends, you need to hear this. God wants you and I to produce results. God saved us for more than the benefits of being saved. God saved us for more. We are here for more than just going to heaven. We are here for more than just receiving an incorruptible inheritance. We are here for more than becoming God's children rather than becoming God's enemies. There's more to it than that. We are saved for more than just experiencing a peace that passes all understanding. Those things are all true, but we were saved for more. You see, we were saved so that we could live our lives as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom. We are here for more than just us. It's not about you. It's about a holy God. And so because of our salvation given to us by a holy God, our life becomes a very stewardship in the service to God. And every beat of our heart is a stewardship. Our money, our children, our careers, our relationships, our church, our salvation itself is all a matter of stewardship before a holy God. He has given us opportunities to live that out. And the very first priority, we're going to start there this morning, is the stewardship of the gospel itself. The stewardship of the gospel itself. We must steward the gospel with intentionality. And like this, we're going to see in all the other areas that we have this morning, we're going to cover when it comes to stewardship, we must start with the gospel. And when we start with the gospel, we have to start with this realization that the gospel comes from God. It's his gospel. He is the author of the gospel. He is the focus of the gospel. Look here. This is the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That is the way that the Gospel of Matthew will close. Friends, we have to know what it is the gospel is. We have to understand what it is that we are being called to be stewards of. There are too many times in our church today that we actually have a very surface level understanding of the gospel, that God loved us and that he died for us and that we are sinners and that we need to say a prayer and that we need to get saved. Those things are all true, but that is a very surface level understanding of the gospel. When you look at the gospel as a matter of stewardship and what we've been called to hold on to and to carry, you'll see that the gospel is deeper and wider than we could ever imagine. So first, notice here, as we look at this text, that Jesus says that all the authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. It's been given to Jesus, all the authority. He is the king. He is the ruler. He is in charge of all the things on earth as it is in heaven. And the king is telling you, he is commanding you, it says here, to go and make disciples of all the nations. In the Gospel of Mark writes it a little bit differently. He recalls the same event and summarizes it like this. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. I love that. Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel in the whole creation. The gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, God's only Son, provides eternal life. That is the gospel. Proclaim this news to all of the creation, is what Mark says. Whose creation? God's creation. He is the creator. He has the authority and the right to determine how his creation will work. He's the creator God. He spins things into motion. He says, this is the way the universe works. He is the creator. We do things the way that the creator says to do. True. He has the authority. He has the right to say, this is what I want, and this is how creation will function. As created beings, we don't have the right or we don't have the authority to question how God determines to use and utilize his creation, how he decides where the rain will fall and where the rain doesn't fall, or where pain and suffering will happen and where peace and prosperity will happen. We don't have a choice in that matter because he is God, he is the creator, and it's all his. But interestingly enough, it's also all his when it comes to the gospel. It is not up to us to determine how he will save his creation. It is his gospel, the means of the gospel. And so when he says that the gospel comes through only one man, his son, Jesus is the only way, we don't have a dog in that fight. That is the only way because he is the creator of the gospel. And therefore, we don't get to determine how salvation works. God determines that. God is the creator of all things. He is the creator of the gospel, and he determines how and who it should be. So when he says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, we are to go. We are to steward that gospel with intentionality. There's nowhere else that God is going to speak and show it more clearly. Jesus is going to give us a couple of parables today. They're going to give us some intentionality about what we're about to review. But before we turn over to Matthew chapter 25, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page because I'm using a word steward and stewardship again and again and again, and we need to all be on the same page. So let me give you a definition of stewardship from a biblical scholar. His name's R.C. Sproul. It says this. The word that we interpret by the English word stewardship in the Greek is oikonomia. The other word that's been transliterated into English from that Greek word is the word economy. It's based on the two distinct words that are pressed together. Oikos, which is the Greek word for house, and nomos, which is the word for law. So oikonomia has to do with the rule of the home or the house. These are the rule, the orders of the house or of the home. That's the word that's beneath this word steward, to be a steward. So the steward in the ancient times, when this is being written, when that word is being used, they are managing, managing the orders or the affairs of that household. They're not just cutting the grass. They're not just doing the dishes. They are managing all the affairs of the home. So when you bring that over and understand that in a biblical context, the truth, you have to understand that that's responsibility of every citizen of heaven, of every Christian on this planet, to understand that this is our Father's world, as the old hymn used to say. That the earth is the Lord and everything in it, is how we read it in the book of Psalms, that God owns everything in this created sphere. Everything that I have, every possession that I have, all that I have access to, so to speak, is owned by God. And you and I are stewards of that. And this includes the gospel itself. We've been given the gospel to steward, to care for in a similar fashion, that these are the laws of the household of faith. It's all His. He is the Creator. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So as long as we're looking through this lens properly, understanding when I'm talking about stewardship, I'm going to bring up the next point. We're going to work our way through this morning. We're going to talk about stewarding our time wisely. We're going to talk about stewarding all of these different things wisely and well, but I'm not going to use the word our time. I'm going to say this. We need to steward God's time wisely. Stewarding God's time wisely. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 1. This is the first parable that Jesus is going to speak before he gets into the parable of the talents. Verse 1 says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But when the wise took flasks of oil with them in their lamps." Time's a precious thing. I think we would all agree with that. It's a non-renewable resource. Time is always moving. It is always going. You can misuse your money and you can work your way back out of a hole. You can dig yourself out of that mess. You can mess with your health, and oftentimes you can lose weight, or you can eat more healthy, or you can do whatever it is. You can sometimes kind of gain that back. If you can squander your skills and you mess that all up, you can go back to school and you can learn how to do it all over again. You can take a typing class. You can learn to swing a hammer all over again. All of those things are true, but time rolls on. It stops for no one. Benjamin Franklin said, "Lost time has never been found again." Right? We know this intrinsically. We know that time is always working against us. So Jesus tells this parable. He depicts this group of ladies. They are waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom for a wedding feast. The text tells us that 5 of them are wise with how they use their time. They come prepared with extra oil for the lamps. And then there's this other 5 who are foolish and they don't bring extra oil. And as the text is going to go on, you'll see that there are 10, all 10 of them fall asleep, but some of them have used their time wisely. When the bridegroom finally arrives later that evening at midnight, the wise virgins are there. These ladies are ready with their oil in their lamps, and they are ready. But the foolish ones have to run off. They don't have anything left. They've wasted their time. Are you stewarding God's time wisely? If you sat down right now, perhaps you are doing it in the pew right now. Scratch it on that connection card on the back of it. How is your time being used? Are you allocating time for spiritual growth, for prayer, for serving others? Or have you set aside your time in a different way where you are going after secular pursuits, distractions, the things of this world that we are told we're supposed to work on? Are you someone who allows your mind to wander, where you could be focused in your time and in your work, but instead your mind starts to wander, small things at first, and then bigger things, and worry and anxiety starts to fill in? That's a stewardship of time. That your time is being lost, and your anxiety is overtaking you because you cannot simply put things in God's hands because you are not realizing that I'm stewarding the time that God has given me. What are you doing with the time God has given you each day? Like an employer who would come in and look over your shoulder. When you turn in your time, she says, "Are you sure? Are you sure that what you've put down here are all billable hours?" When it comes to the end of the day, just like the virgins we're seeing here, are you stewarding God's time wisely? What are the practical steps that you can take to prioritize God's timing in your daily life? Don't be complacent. Be ready for His return. Jesus is coming again. And no one knows the day or the hour. Be like the wise women here. In light of the gospel, are you stewarding God's time wisely? That's the first point. Second point, in light of the gospel, are you stewarding God's talents carefully? We skip ahead a few verses. We pick up in verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Now, as we began this morning, I talked to you about stewardship and the kind of the Greek word behind stewardship and how it gets translated into English. I'm going to actually go in the opposite direction here and talk for a moment, because here's an example where the English word that we have doesn't mean the same thing that we are going to realize that that word means. When we see the word talent here in English, that means something different to them. So the truth is that this word is all about talent. It's not about abilities or skills. Talent is more of a monetary unit. We're going to get there. It's a form of currency. A talent is a form of currency and the very wealthy form of currency. So this 5 talents that you see, the 2 talents that you see, those are examples of significant amounts of money that are being given to each of these people. We're going to get there in a moment. But first, I do want to take the English application point that we can take, just straight value if you read it, when we talk about the talents that have been entrusted to each and every one of us, according to his own ability, is what we see there at the end. So we'll talk about talents here, and then we'll get to finances in just a moment. In light of the gospel, are you stewarding God's talents carefully? Now, this text is actually very applicable today. Today is Mother's Day. If you're not aware, get aware. It's Mother's Day. You need to be aware of that. It creates a great opportunity, though, to talk about these matters, because a mother is especially attuned to the talents and the abilities of her various children. She knows. She knows their skills. She knows their special skills. Dads, we're kind of dumb. We just don't pay attention. We go, oh, really? I didn't know they could write with a crayon. Yes, they can. But mothers are very attuned to these types of things. Remember how Jesus' ministry started? Do you remember the first miracle that we see Jesus' ministry? What happened? And this is found in John chapter 2. Jesus' disciples, they're attending a wedding feast there in Cana, and they find out that they don't have enough wine to be able to serve at that celebration. They run out of wine. It would be a social embarrassment to the people there. And who taps on Jesus' shoulder? It's his mother. She knows that he has, at least she understands, he's got some special talents, some special abilities. She's not even quite sure. I mean, she has had, he's been prophesied to be the Son of God, the Son of Man available for the whole world. And she goes, tap, tap, tap. I think that this is a moment for you to demonstrate your abilities and your talents. And he launches into ministry. At the request of his mother, Jesus instructs his servants to fill 6 stone jars with water. And then this miracle happens, and those stones of water transform into wine of exceptional quality, the very best quality of wine. It is very exciting for everyone who's there. God was glorified. And Mary knew the whole time. She considered, she pondered these things in her heart, that her son had this very special gift, this very special ability or talent. You know, in this room, there are many special gifts and talents. Spiritually speaking, we call them spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the body of Christ. Are we as a church stewarding God's talents carefully? Are we stewarding what we have been given and stewarding it well? Within your home, within your household, are you stewarding the abilities, the talents that God has given your children, your spouse, your loved ones? Are you stewarding that well? Is the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit that has been given to your home, is that being stewarded well? Are we stewarding God's talents carefully? Number 3, in light of the gospel, are you stewarding God's treasure actively? Actively. Skipping ahead to verse 22. And also he who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. So the master entrusts these servants. He has gone on a long journey. To one servant, he gives the 5 talents. To one servant, he gives 2 talents. And the one servant, he gives 1 talent. Again, now we're talking in the physical. So he's giving them a bag of gold or a bag of silver. He's giving 5 bags to one, giving 2 bags to one, and then he's giving 1 bag of gold or silver to the third servant as well. So the first 2 servants, they invest all that's been given. They're active in what they've been given, and they are investing, and they get double their bags. They're able to see all of this come to light. Well, the third servant, if you know the text, you understand this parable, he buries his gold out of fear that he might lose it or misplace it. So I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to go in the backyard, and I'm going to bury it. And so what we see is that the master comes back and he looks at the faithfulness of the first 2 servants, the way they've invested what has been given to them. He praises them and he gives them each greater responsibilities. I chose specifically to put the text of the one with 2 talents here on the screen because there's middle children in the room, right? Who just feel like, man, the older child, they got the 5 talents, and the younger child, they always get beat up and talk. Let's just talk about the middle child for a moment. And the middle child here, the middle servant, we look and you say, you've been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much. But there's a lot going on here that he's going to be able to use and utilize because he's active in what he has invested. But he goes to that third servant because of his fearfulness and his laziness. He takes away that bag of gold or that bag of silver that he's given to him. And he gives it to one who's already got 10 because they have done so much with that investment, because they've been active in stewarding the treasure that had been given to them. You've been faithful over a little, the master says, even to the one with only 2 talents, with 2 bags. He says, you've been faithful, so I'm going to give you even more. Isn't that interesting? The way that he works that. Jesus said, you who have been trusted even with very little. You know what he's talking about? I mean, very, very little. He's saying very little amounts of value. He's talking about the wealth of this world. These were bags of gold that they were being held by the most upper crust of society, would be the only ones who have these. But he's saying that's just a very little and insignificant thing. Worldly wealth, money, it's all insignificant. It's the least of this stuff. It's no big deal. It's just a piece of paper. So let's talk about that for a moment. I've got a little piece of paper. It's got a 20 written on it. It used to be a bigger piece of paper. Now it's a little piece of paper. I've got a little money in my pocket. It's just a little bit. It's Mother's Day, and so because it's Mother's Day, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to treat my wife to a good time, and we're going to go get a Big Mac. Fries for both of us, and with a $20 bill, probably water. It's a little piece of paper. It's insignificant. But you know what's interesting about the money about this in here? Is it doesn't have a soul. There's nothing here of great value. This is just a little bit of value. And for you, whether it's paper that's in your pocket or plastic or something even more significant than that, it's just this little stuff. It's the least of your issues when we talk about riches. These little things in our pockets are of very insignificant value. They're just the little things, people. And the master is telling him, and the master is telling us, if you can't keep track of, if you can't be trusted with the nothingness of possessions and money, how are you going to be entrusted with the riches of the kingdom of God, with the people, the true riches in the kingdom of God? Because if you're dishonest with these little things, these little pieces of paper, then the expectation is then you'll also be dishonest with much. The quality of a relationship with the Lord in regards to these little and insignificant things, these dollars and cents, these possessions, is really brought to light by how you treat those things and how you utilize those things. If you are a stingy person and you say, I'm not going to give anything away, I've got my budget, I've got things in order, I've got it all set and tight, and it's airlocked. I'm in good shape here. Do you trust those possessions to the Lord? Others of you are swinging that card around, you're throwing money to everybody. Yee-hoo! You might need to steward that a little bit better. Biblically, we are told spiritually, we are told that we are to give a tithe to the Lord. Now, there's disagreement on this. We talked about this in our class earlier this morning. These are one of those things where there's the Old Testament says 10% of all of your gross income needs to be given to the church, brought to the storehouse. There's New Testament scholars that will look at that and say, don't worry, that's an Old Testament thing. You don't have to do it in the New Testament. There are other scholars who say, that's an Old Testament thing. You have to do more than that in the New Testament. But the understanding is if it's all God's, it's all His, are you being obedient to what you have been stewarded with? Are you giving back to God what is already His? Are you giving God's time back to Him because it's already His? Are you giving God's talents back to Him? It's already His. Are you giving your treasure back to Him? It's all already this, His. I'm telling you this because this is what I believe. And guess I'm not speaking just arbitrarily. I'm speaking from experience, and so I've got some authority behind this. I'm not just blabbing my mouth. As an adult, as a Christian adult, when my choices were my own to make, I have been tithing 10% of my gross income for all the years that I've been an adult. And I have found that God has demonstrated Himself faithful in our lives and in our home again and again and again and again, being obedient with what I have to steward. It's pretty insignificant. It's pretty small. In the grand scheme of things, the salary that pastors get is not very big. But thank you, but it's insignificant. Because if we can't bring the little that we've been entrusted with, understand that God has to trust us with that so that He can give us more to be entrusted with. And it's probably not paper and possessions. It's probably going to be people. Because that is the greatest value in the kingdom of God. Are you being faithful with that little bit of treasure that God has given to you? Thirdly, we are to be stewarding our lives daily. Not thirdly, it's fourthly, actually. Stewarding our lives daily. Going into the next set of verses, picking up in verse 31 from Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Skip to 34. Then the King will say to His sheep, "Come, you are blessed by My Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation." So Jesus is painting this picture as He is telling His disciples how He is going to govern His own kingdom, how He is going to govern His own people. He's going to come, He's going to sit on the throne. He says, there's goats and there's sheep, but My sheep, they know My voice. So I know who they are and they know Me. And I don't know the scope, I don't understand exactly the whole domain and what that is, but He gives us a picture that He's going to entrust those that He loves with great responsibility. And as you look at this, you see this phrase again that I believe connects the dots into all that we've been talking about here this morning. I've given you this responsibility, He's saying, to steward your lives. I've given you this responsibility since creation, He says. Remember, we have to look at the end in mind if we're going to think about the legacy of their lives. He says, I've given you this purpose since the creation of time, since I set things up in creation. And the first day of creation is the morning, and the evening was the first day. And He said that it was good. Practically speaking, we're not just asking you to look at your daily life and say, you guys need to get that thing straight. Get your daily life in order. Prioritize it in light of the gospel. We want you to know that you should expect of us as a church, or the leadership of this church, that we are to do the same thing as well. That we are to steward the talents, the treasure, the time that we have here as a church. So we're going to do that daily, weekly, monthly, annually, decade after decade. This church is nearly 200 years old. It should be a church that is always prioritizing and stewarding our lives day after day after day. Because just like God created each and every day with a regular rhythm to it, morning and evening were the first day. Morning and evening were the second day. Morning and evening were the 3,000,000th day. It has a pattern to it. Each day, each year in the life of the church has a rhythm to it. And in that, we are going to steward that as well as we possibly can. So I'll bring it back to you. Think about your own life. Again, it's Mother's Day. If you miss it the first three times, start to pick up on it. It's Mother's Day. You need to be aware of that. But a year ago, it was also Mother's Day. And these are the things about holidays is sometimes they can give you an anchor point to kind of remember things. Where were you? What were you doing 1 year ago? What happened in your daily rhythms since 1 year ago? What happened in your weekly schedule since a year ago? How is it that you have been investing your time, investing your talent, investing your treasure since last year, 1 year ago? How have you been doing in that? When you reflect on the last year, are you stewarding your daily life in a way that honors God? In light of the gospel, have your actions aligned with God's purposes and values? Once again, because of the way the rhythm of life works, today is a new day. Starting today, you can take intentional steps to change that trajectory. If you've got the end in mind, you need to understand where you're going. To live each day with purpose, intentionality, seeking to glorify God in all that you do. For many of you, it could be simple, but others, for you, it would be more difficult to say, I'm going to actually prioritize a time for prayer. Prioritize a time for scripture reading. Demonstrate a spiritual growth in my life by managing how my treasure is being utilized and stewarded. By using my spiritual gifts in a different way. To demonstrate love and kindness and compassion in a different way this year, starting today. By consciously stewarding your life daily, you can cultivate a deeper relationship with God and in turn have a positive impact on those around you, fulfilling your role as a faithful servant in the kingdom of God. The king will then say to his sheep, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom that has been prepared for you since creation. As the band comes up, we will finish in just a moment. The reason I want to push this last point, we need to keep in mind that stewardship is a holistic endeavor. And our whole lives, our whole days are devoted to the work of stewarding to God what is already God's. Now, I'm confident. You're not sitting in this room this morning and you say, nah, I'm just going to keep worshiping money. I'm good with that. That isn't really where your frame of reference is. I'm just going to go to bed tonight. I'm going to put money under my pillow. And in the morning, I'm going to do a devotion with my money. And then I'm going to worship my money. And then I'm going to rub it on myself. I'm going to kiss it before I go to bed the next night. That's not what you have planned for the day. I know that. However, when you really honestly think about it, when you think about how your day is oriented, are you serving God? Or are you serving money and possessions and the things that surround us in this world? Which one are you willing to give your sacrifice to? Because many times we are willing to sacrifice our time, aren't we? Many times we are willing to sacrifice our talent, aren't we? Sometimes we're willing to sacrifice our treasure for the things of this world. So although you're saying, nah, I'm not going to worship money today, be careful. Be careful, because it's all God's. Are you stewarding it well? This will tell where your loyalty actually lies. Now this morning as we finish, there's two ways to kind of react to this message, and I know that there's two ways to react that way. The first one is you're going to hear the message, you're going to read this passage, you're going to look and see the way that each of the people in these parables respond. You say, I know what the healthy way is, and I want to respond in obedience to that. That's going to be the first reaction. Obedience. The second reaction is actually what the Pharisees are going to do in the next few verses. They're going to listen to him while he's training his other disciples. They're going to follow through, and then they're going to go off to the side, and they're going to decide they don't want to hear Jesus' teaching anymore because it makes them uncomfortable. They're going to decide ultimately they don't want to see him keep putting pressure on them. And so one thing leads to another. The next thing you know, they have a plot in motion that they are going to decide to silence him forever. They are going to have him killed. Just to make sure that they don't have to hear that voice anymore. That could be you as well. Because that's what happens when we choose sin. When we choose sin, we are saying, I am choosing to live my life in a way that is defiant of the Creator God who made everything, and it's all His and everything in it. Let's bow our heads this morning together. Father, we come to you this morning knowing that you own it all. Every item that we consider ours, the money that's in our pocket, the car that's in our driveway, the TV that's on our mantle, we think that it's ours, but we need to understand and know that it is yours. God, we do not want to be a people who lets our time, our talent, our treasure, our possessions, our skills, our talents, our money ruin the quality of the relationship that we have with you. We do not want it to be a sin that is a barrier that keeps us from you. Lord, teach us to be a people who can be trusted with these things. A people who will manage our lives in a way that is distinctively different from the world, that we would steward the gospel. If you are here this morning and I say that word gospel and you are not sure if you have ever given your life to Christ, when Jesus tells that he has the power and the authority to go into all the world and teach the gospel, making disciples, you are not sure if you are a disciple. I pray that in these moments, and there would be other people in the room praying for you as well, that you would make a decision, if nothing else, a decision to write something down on a connection card or come shake my hand in the back after the service and say, I want to learn more. I would like to give my life to Christ, understanding that it's already His anyway. It's just my job to steward it. Lord, for everyone else in the room, God, I pray that we would have an eternal focus, an eternal mindset. Because you don't need anything. You've already got everything. We do these things because we establish that we need you. Wherever our treasure is, we know that that's where our heart is as well. So God, help us to be a people that do that well. We love you. We pray that you'd help us to demonstrate who you are and the people of the world by the way we steward our lives each and every day. Be our vision, Lord. In Jesus' name.